You know, something that I get really frustrated with is seeing great churches with really poor messaging. You know, all churches have, you know, the greatest message to share, and your church, I'm sure, has a very unique way of doing it. And but so many times we see churches that when it comes to actually articulating and messaging and communicating with those they're trying to reach, they're just not making sense. They're not being clear, and they're making a lot of messaging mistakes. And therefore, what they're trying to say and who they're trying to reach, well, they're just not connecting with them. Well, that's why our coaching exists here at Church Media HQ. That is one of the primary focuses of all of our coaching sessions, is making sure that your messaging is right. You know, a lot of times we can get hung up on the look and maybe wanting something to look cool or look good, or, you know, and that's important when it comes to design and video. But the message that you're communicating is equally, if not more, important. And so we want to help you with that. And that's why we offer completely free coaching sessions that you can join at any time, where we can actually talk through your marketing, your messaging, and see how we can and it's amazing how just some small tweaks can make a big difference. So to schedule one of these completely free coaching sessions, head over to churchmediahq.com/coach, find a time that works for you, and join an upcoming coaching session so that we can help your church take its messaging to the next level and start reaching and connecting with more people. Schedule your free coaching session at churchmediahq.com/coach. That's churchmediahq.com/coach. Well, today I am joined yet again by Lance Schmidt. Lance is an assistant pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Newington, Connecticut, and he does a lot with their worship, media, and their marketing. And in this particular conversation, that's what we focus on. Lance has some really great thoughts and insight about marketing, and so I'm looking forward to sharing this with you. My name is Luke Clayton, and welcome to Church Media HQ. Let's move into kind of our last topic, I would say. And let's talk about how we kind of already have started to drift into it. But when it comes to your worship in particular, how has that affected your church's marketing and promotional efforts in that way? And maybe even how has that got people to come to church and to come back and whatever? And we kind of already talked about that a little bit with, hey, the music video got people interested in coming to actual church, but I want you to speak, I'd love for you to speak more to that, like how that's played into your actual church marketing.
Yeah. So, like the term marketing, like just from the get-go could be a turnoff, like to some church guys, you know? So I'll just say, like, if you're listening, like stick with us, because like, every church to some degree is marketing, like whether or not you have ads going on the internet or not, like you're constantly, you know, marketing and telling people, like essentially what marketing is nowadays, it's just telling people a story about why they need, you know, whatever product.
Well,
you know?
The way I always put it, your church is doing marketing, whether you realize it or not. It is not something that, that you're always doing intentionally. It's something you're doing. People are aware of your church in one way or another, whether they know it as the church that has really good worship and a really good pastor, speaker, whatever, or, oh, the church that has a rundown building. Unfortunately, that is all marketing, whether it's negative or positive, it's there. So you're doing it one way or another. And most people that have been connected with us for any length of time, they're over it. I'm like, hey, don't get turned off by the word marketing, because it's something we all do and we need to be more intentional about.
Right. No, yeah. That's cool that you guys have talked about that. So I pretty much, yeah, you're constantly marketing your church just by every action you do on Sunday morning. Like, you're telling people a story of what you think about your church. That's like a whole nother, you know, road we can go down. But to kind of, I guess, backtrack a little bit, and in the mid like 1900s, if you advertised something on TV, like it was going to get sold. Like it was like pretty much marketers, promoters had a formula. Like companies would bring in marketing agencies, and they would say, hey, we want to sell this box of Tide to you know, X amount of Americans make it happen. And if you could get that on television, I mean, for the most part, it was going to be a home run, like no matter what. Because back in, you know, those days, people had far less information that they were intaking and far fewer options. So they would look at something like Tide, and, you know, it's the one, you know, commercial on TV that had to do with the cleanliness of their family, you know, and they went, boom, like that's the one I'm going to get. You know, I saw it on TV, I'm going to get it at the store. And it was so easy to advertise back in those days. I just read a book. It's called Purple Cow by Seth Godin. Have you read that at all or heard of it?
I've not read it, but I've heard of it.
So that's a really good one. But basically what he talks about the TV industrial complex, which is back in that time, you could advertise whatever, throw it up on TV, people are going to buy it. Well, that's not the same today, right? Like,
oh, absolutely not.
Like, it's funny how some churches think like they can just get on Facebook and just throw up some Facebook ads, and that's gonna just automatically, like no matter what the ad looks like, no matter what it's saying or doing, it's just automatically gonna translate to people coming to your church. Like that's just not the case. Like now if you get on Facebook, I'm scrolling past, like in one Facebook sitting, I'm scrolling past 10 church ads, you know, that are just like you're one in a million now, buddy. You know, like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not kidding. I was on Facebook the other day and I think it was like every third post was an ad. I mean, it's no exaggeration. It's like, oh, there's another ad. And, I think that's a great point. Like Facebook will gladly take your money. But that doesn't mean it's going to get results.
Yes. So the kind of the whole premise to Seth's book, Purple Cow, is he was on a trip with his family in France, and they were strolling through the countryside, and he said they began to pass by all of these fields of just cows everywhere. And for some reason, you know, their family was just enamored with this, just fields of cows, you know, and, you know, the first few fields they passed, you know, oh, there's more cows, you know, look, kids. And they're, you know, looking out the window, being really enamored by it. Well, after about 10 or 15 minutes of passing by fields of cows, I mean, you could probably guess what's going to happen. They got bored of it, right?
Yeah.
And he said, what would catch your eye though, you know, is if you drove by a field and you saw a purple cow, you know?
Yeah.
And he would say, he said, you would say that's remarkable, you know, like, so he's equating this idea of a purple cow to being a product that is remarkable. Okay. So in other words, in today's culture, because there's so much information flying at us, in order for your product to stand out, or in this case, in order for your church to stand out, it has to be remarkable. Okay. Now that's really, you know, subjective. So what does remarkable mean? Like automatically, a lot of pastors are, you know, probably discouraged because it's like, well, my church isn't like remarkable, like compared to Elevation or, you know, compared to, you know, whatever, like my church is not remarkable. Well, hang tight, okay, because we're going to define remarkable in regards to our church worship, okay? Because automatically our minds go to, well, my music doesn't sound like so-and-so's. It doesn't sound like theirs. So I'm not sure I can even achieve remarkable, you know? But I just love that book because I kind of applied it to our church context and the worship context. And I thought, man, in order for your church to stand out, it needs to be a purple cow in today's society. So if you apply this to moving forward with that analogy, if you apply this to a church music context, a worship contest today, if you want your church's music to stand out, or your church for that matter, it's got to be remarkable. The problem is too many churches with their church music, they're on the extremes. Okay. So they're either not trying, or they're trying too hard. So like too many churches, it's like, okay, you know, and forgive me if you're listening and this is what your church music looks like, I'm sorry. And like, I still love you and I'm sure your church is still great. But if there's no preparation going into your music, I mean, very little preparation as far as song selection and shepherding people's hearts and emotions and experience during the service, well, what are you going to do? You're going to get up every week and it's you and the pianist, and you're going to go, all right, turn your hymn books to song number such and such. Let's do this song instead, you know, and you're going to get up and wave your arms. You're essentially not trying, right? If there's no preparation going into your music, you're not trying. That's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So there's too many churches doing that. Like, there's a lot of churches doing that. And then there's too many churches on the other extreme, and they're trying too hard. And what I mean by that is they're trying to emulate, you know, like a certain type of church or a certain type of artist or a certain type of style. Not to say that we aren't influenced by styles, but they're trying to, you know, be a copycat of a style. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like,
yep, absolutely.
I could look at the Gettys or Elevation and be like, you know what? Like, I want to be exactly like them. And I could try to emulate every little thing that they do. And the problem is what gets lost in translation is you're not being remarkable. You're not being uniquely who God made you to be in the worship context.
I like how you gave those two extremes, that somebody who's not trying at all. Then somebody who's trying too hard, in that they're just not being themselves, or they're just trying to be a replica of somebody else's style. Like I was talking to somebody the other day about this it's not really a new church at this point. It's been out for a while, and you know, I'll check them out on social media every once in a while. And me and this guy were talking, we're like, they it looks like they are just trying to be Elevation. You know, and it's like, and there's nothing wrong with Elevation in and of itself. I mean, if you've ever watched Elevation's, you know, church online, I mean, it's inspiring. It's amazing. I mean, their worship is powerful. If you've ever been there in person, by the way, I did several years ago before. It was actually fall of 2019. So, you should.
And then you're losing your listeners as you're explaining Elevation Church right now. You might want to.
I know, they're like, yeah. Hey, I don't care where you line up with them on terms of philosophy or whatever.
Yeah, they do things excellently.
They do things excellently. And I mean, like, I've been to like Life Church in Edmond, Oklahoma as well, just for the same reason. I like to go and see how they're actually doing it, you know. You got to steal your ideas from somewhere, what I'm saying though is there's nothing wrong with what they're doing, yet like you said, you've got to, you're going to be inspired by them, and you're going to maybe take certain parts of what they do and say, yeah, we're going to steal this from there and this from there. We're going to kind of be like that. But I don't know, to try to just emulate and replicate a particular, you know, church or style or whatever. I don't know. It just doesn't translate almost never. And it's gotta be something you do that's uniquely different. I think I've heard, since we're throwing out all the, contemporary churches and whatever right now, I've heard Andy Stanley say, you have to be uniquely better. That's the way he puts it. You know, you want to be better, but you want to do it in your own unique way. So let's dive into, that thought of how have you maybe said, yeah, we're gonna do our best to be remarkable and be that purple cow and be remarkable in that way.
I will say, I guess to start out to that note, you know, some churches are not trying at all and some are trying too hard. People can tell when you're on either extreme. People know, like, when you're just not trying, like you don't have a team up there with you. You're not trying to cultivate any type of team spirit in your church. People know when you're doing that, and people know when you're trying too hard. Like, they know, like really, they didn't used to sing their vowels like that, or like, really, they didn't used to, you know, I don't know, dress like that, or, you know, look like that, or whatever. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we as humans kind of tend to judge, but people could tell right off the bat if you're being fake, you know. I guess that's all I'm trying to say. So I wrote down just real quick, like seven things last night that just off the top of my head, I thought through, okay, how have we, and we haven't tried to do this, we've kind of stumbled on it, but how have we, you know, tried to, I guess, be a purple cow in this worship space, you know, and just kind of be our own thing, you know, not be a copycat of Elevation or be a copycat of the Gettys or whatever. Okay. So I guess the first thing that I thought of was there needs to be, and some of these are more just kind of principled, but the first one is there needs to be a spirit of authenticity. Like there needs to be a spirit of you are being yourself. Like, again, you're not being fake. Mm-hmm. You are being authentic to who you are. You're not trying to be anybody else. There's a spirit of, I think with authenticity comes humility. And so in those moments where you're trying to be excellent or you're trying to grow a team and you're fumbling over yourself, those moments where maybe you get a little bit embarrassed or you're humbled in a worship set that you totally messed up, you know, that's a spirit of authenticity. And believe it or not, your church family respects that. Like if you mess up a song yeah. partway through and you turn around to the team and go, "Hey guys, let's restart that real quick." Your church family respects that. They go, "Yeah, like let's yeah. sing this the right way." You know, it's not about fake it till you make it, you know? So I think in uh-huh. everything you do, there needs to be just a spirit of, this is who we are. This is our context. We're a church plant that's in the inner city. So this is what our music is going to sound like. We are a suburb of uh-huh. Hartford. And you know, this is our demographic. This is who we're ministering to. So this is who we're going to be, you know, this is who God's called us to be in this area. There's a lot that goes into that. So I could, in Newington, Connecticut, I could try to make my music look like Louisville, Kentucky, you know, or look like some small yeah. town in West Virginia. It's probably not going to go over as well, right? Like I could try to make it, mm-hmm. I could try mm-hmm. to, in Newington, Connecticut, this suburb, try to make it feel like inner city LA, and it's just not going to go over well. So there's got to be that spirit of authenticity. Mm-hmm. You're being who God has created you to be in the context that he has you in. Number two, and I know we kind of talked about this earlier, but I'm just going to say it again. I think the second, you know, rung in the ladder to remarkability, if you will, is maximizing your given resources. So what God has given to you,
yeah.
use it to its fullest potential. Like, I can't tell you how many worship teams I've talked to in the last year that are not like just properly using the talent that God has given them in their church to the fullest. You know, we did our best in the early days to maximize that. And we didn't we had a budget of zero. Like I didn't have money. There's a subscription online. It's called Song Select. And it's a basic place where you can. Yeah. I mean, it's a very basic for a music pastor to have a subscription to Song Select. It's like a couple hundred dollars a year, you know, which breaks down to what, like 10 bucks a month or something, less than 10 a month. Yeah. Okay. We couldn't even so much as do that in the beginning. Like we couldn't take on a subscription like that. We just had a budget of zero and we just decided, you know what, with the pianist God has given us, with the vocalist God has given us, with the skill set that I have, which really isn't much, we're just going to make the best of this. Mm-hmm. And then with that, I think talent attracts talent. So people are going to see, okay, man, they're really trying to make this done with excellence. Man, I want to join that team. And God's going to bring those people. So I think we tried to maximize our given resources. And I think that does start to set you apart as that purple cow, like we talked about. Yeah. Number three would be team building. So recruiting and training and developing your team is a huge part of becoming remarkable. There are not a lot of worship. There are a lot of worship teams out there, but there's not a lot of them that are being built and being built together. And there are not of there are not a lot of them that have healthy cultures. So
yeah,
we talked about those two extremes. So like, you know, the people that don't try, they don't have team building, right? They don't have a team. They're not trying. The people that are trying too hard, oftentimes don't have a healthy, they have a team, but they don't have a healthy team culture, you know, to where they're, you know, resolving conflicts, to where they're purging impure motives, you know, and all that. Well, why? Cause they're trying to be something that they're not, you know, and they're trying yeah. to do things really that they weren't created to do. So I think that's a big part of, becoming that purple cow in your, you know, church worship community. Okay. Number four would be the pursuit of excellence. And that seems obvious, but it really isn't. I've talked to in the past year, just about 60 church worship leaders, And not all of them are pursuing after excellence. A lot of them are just trying to get by. And so I think that's important to note. If you're going to be remarkable, try to be excellent, or at least pursue it, right? People appreciate and respect when you're pursuing that. So that would be number four. And then five and six are my last two. And I think these are two of the biggest ones. Like, if I just had to pinpoint two on this list that set you apart as a purple cow in your church worship community, this is it.
All right, we are going to pick up the rest of the conversation next week, so be sure to join us then. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. And if you haven't yet, I do hope that you will subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/mustincrease. And when you do that, you also will get updated and always get the latest episodes of the other podcast and show on the Must Increase Network, Connection Culture. And that is where we help individuals and families navigate the insane and even toxic culture that comes along in our world that's driven by media and technology. But we actually learn how you can use this same power of connection to actually have meaningful, authentic relationships, and of course, use it to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. So again, check that out on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And until the next episode, I do want to remind you once again, let's try something new at your church this week. Think of just one small thing you can do, even if it seems insignificant, because by trying something new, you're going to find that it is so much better to fail possibly at trying something that could be incredible than it is to continue to succeed at something that's just average. I'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.